our minds and our hearts to receive this engrafted word of the Lord. Hallelujah. But in all your ways. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is death. There's a lot of ways that seems right. There's a lot of ways, oh, I don't think God would send you to hell over. Oh, you just don't know. There is a way that seems right to you, but the end thereof ends in death. But Job said there is a place in God, there is a way in God where the vulture's eye hath not seen, the lion's whelp hath not trod. Hallelujah. Nobody knows that way, that hidden path, but God himself. And I say, God, direct me down that way. I want to travel down the path least traveled by, if you know what I mean. Hallelujah. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow and straight is the way that leads to eternal life, and few be there that find it. You got to search for it. You got to look for it. You got to knock. You got to ask. You got to seek. Hallelujah. Let's go to James 3 and 7 again. Thank you for coming this morning. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. James 3, 7, it says, for every kind of beast, of birds, of serpents, of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue, no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts. There we go, in that crevice of your heart. Glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above, oh, thank God, is pure. Oh, let's start out with something pure. Hallelujah. It is first pure, then it's peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. Ooh, hallelujah. It doesn't take a whole lot to make the Holy Ghost happy. Just a little acknowledgement. It is full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of the righteous is sown in peace of them that make peace. Oh, hallelujah. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 22 and 5 while you're standing. Read about four more verses while you're standing. And I'll try to tie these together before we get done. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Verse 9. Thou shall not sow thy vineyard with diverse seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. Thou shalt not plow with the ox and ass together. Thou shalt not wear a garment of diverse sorts as of woolen and linen together. He's talking about things that on their own are good, but when you mix them together, it defiles the other one. And so we're going to talk about the heart, and we're going to talk about the tongue, we're going to talk about things that defile each other, but I want to talk about changing the nature of the beast. Changing the nature of the beast. God, I come before you this morning. I am so glad that you are a God that is patient. You're long-suffering. You're tender-hearted. You are full of mercy. I am so glad, God, because I needed all of those things, and so do all of us, God. We need compassion. We need love. We need tender, loving care. We need all the things that the Spirit, them that sow in peace will reap peace. Help us, Lord, to realize that whatsoever we sow, that shall we also reap. Help us, Lord, to understand the Scriptures, Lord, and change us from the vile creature that we are into the image of your dear Son. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Say with me, before you're seated, say with me, he's still working on me. He's still working. You're a work in progress. You may be seated. We used to sing that as a kid. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. You know, and sometimes we get older, we think we can't change. They said you can't teach an old dog new trick. The reason is you don't take time to teach that old dog new trick. You can still teach an old dog new tricks. Hallelujah. Changing the nature of the beast. I want to talk to you not about taming. I want to talk to you about changing. Yeah. I've heard of lion tamers. I've been to a circus. And I've watched that lion. That's not his nature to crawl up on a little pedestal and raise his paws and roar. And the little man cracks the whip, you know, and he's a lion tamer. Don't do that for about a year and get back in there with him. You will find that you have only tamed him. You have not changed him. I've heard of lion tamers, but I never heard of a lion changer. And so you may tame him and make him do what you want him to do because you're over him and you have worked with him and so maybe had it since it was a little cub. That's good. That's fine. But it was born with a nature. James said all kinds of beasts have been tamed of man. Even birds, boy, they tame eagles. I hate seeing those eagles in those cages. You ever been to the zoo? And it hurts me. I don't even want to go to the zoo. I might take Ariel one day, but I'll just bear it, you know. But you watch these animals pacing back and forth. That bear, he hits that wall, and he hits that wall, and he hits that. That's not, he don't want to be there. He's tamed to some degree, but he's not changed. And here there's a turmoil. This is not where I belong. You may put a fake tree here and try to fake me out and make it look good like I'm in my natural setting. But, oh, no, I was born to be free. I wasn't born to be caged. I wasn't born to be tamed like this. All kinds of birds, the eagle that soars, sits in the corner in a little old cage and pecks his feathers and he would fly. Let him out and see what happens. And so all kinds of things, even a snake, he said serpents have been tamed. They play a little tune in that the cobra dance. That's not what he wants to do. He wants to bite you. Amen. A whale, you can tame a whale if you want. Then you go to SeaWorld and you see all these creatures. But every once in a while, if you notice, they turn. Every once in a while, the lion tamer ends up on the wrong end. It's the lion that's got the whip. You know, it changes. Why? Because he did not really change the nature of the animal. He just tried to tame the nature of the animal. And no man can tame another man. You may put him incarcerated, put him in jail. You can do that. And you may tame him a little bit because you know if he does it again, he knows where he's going. But if he could do what his heart wants to do, there's a nature inside of him that you have not changed. Hallelujah. A man can say, I'm changed, but you listen to his tongue. You listen to his tongue. It tells you eventually the heart begins to speak out. And so if your heart changes, though, your tongue will change. That's what I do know. That's what I do know. And just because you can tame it doesn't mean you've changed it. And anything you don't change, you got to control. See? You see? They can't leave that gate open and that bear not want to get out. Oh, no, they can't say, Mr. Bear, you stay in there. We got you. We'll feed you tomorrow. But he's gone. Honey, you leave that. I remember having parakeets when I grew up. I had a red one and a green one and a blue one. And Lord, somehow they got smart. They learned how to clip, get that little clip off, and I'd come back home and they would be flying around the room. And I'd got me a fishing net and I'd run around and catch them, put them back in there. They wanted to be out. They wanted to be out. And if you think you can tame it, then the time comes, if it's not changed, then you revert back to what you have only tamed and not changed. Are you with me this morning? And so there are God-given natures that God gave man and woman when he first created them. He gave them natures when he first created them. God created the male and the female, and then right after that, he instructed them from the very beginning to be fruitful, right? To be fruitful. He said, multiply and replenish the earth. He put a desire inside of them, and he said to subdue it and have dominion over it. And the Lord was instructing the woman because she's the multiplier. I mean, it's nearly always the woman that wants to have children. And she wants to, you know, this just God-given. It's, even Rachel said, Lord, give me children, else I die. I don't remember any men saying that. They have children too, but the one that bears the fruit is the woman. And so the woman was that part to multiply and to be fruitful. But to the man, he was saying, subdue. See, they both got natures from the very beginning. To the man, he said, subdue and have dominion over it. So I'm here to tell you that inside the woman is a God-given desire to do those things. But inside of every man, there is a hunter. Oh, yes. Every man is a hunter. Now, you may not get a gun and a shotgun and go out and shoot a squirrel or a deer or anything like that, but you're hunting something on Google. You're hunting something. You're pursuing something. Every man is a hunter. Somebody said, I'm hunting a woman. Hunting. Always hunting. Always hunting. A man is a hunter. We look at Esau, and you think Esau was a mighty hunter. Jacob was a better hunter. Oh, yeah. While Esau was out in the field hunting deer with a bow and an arrow, his brother Jacob was hunting a birthright with some bowl and beans in a kitchen. He was a better hunter. Inside of a man is the pursuing of something. He's pursuing something. Always pursuing something. It's not like a woman's nature. It's not like that. But a man's nature, he's pursuing something. And Jacob, he subdued Esau, but he didn't have a dominion over him. Oh, I'm going somewhere this morning. You can subdue something and still not have dominion over it. And so Jacob subdued his brother. He got that birthright. But when Esau came to his daddy and said, Daddy, don't you have one blessing for me? My brother has done it again. And this is what he said. It shall come to pass when thou shalt have dominion over him, that thou shalt break his yoke from off your neck. Whoever you're yoked to, now here's where I'm going this morning. Whoever you're yoked to is where the dominion's at. Subdue is one thing, dominion's another thing. Amen. I got me a woman, good, can you keep her? I got me a job. Oh, I can get a job anytime I want to get a job. Can you keep a job? It's one thing to have to subdue something, but can you keep what you just caught? Anytime you catch something, you've got to keep it alive. Whew. Hallelujah. That's right. You got to keep it alive. Now you caught it, you got to feed it, you got to do all these things. Brother Ken and I fish every once in a while a bass tournament, and you know what? You catch, they won't weigh in a dead fish. Now that I've caught it, I got to keep it alive. Oh, I've subdued it, all right, but do you have a dominion over it? Can you keep it alive? Oh, Lord. And so many times if we're not careful, we catch things. I caught me a woman. I caught me a man. I'm having children. But can you have dominion over them? Subduing is not breaking the yoke. It's when you have dominion over it. Amen. That breaks the yoke of bondage. The Bible says, Isaiah wrote it. He said, the anointing is what breaks. That's that dominion factor that breaks the yoke of bondage. Amen. The anointing takes dominion over everything. Even Jesus said that he hath anointed me to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty the captive, to have dominion over sin. Hallelujah. It was Sarah that looked at her husband, Abraham, and said, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. When I didn't have a child, it was cool. We had Ishmael. We went to the park and we swung him. But now I got me a son. And I want to tell you something, buddy. I'm not going to let the son of the bondswoman be yoked to the son of the free. Now one of us has got to go. And Abraham was upset. He liked Ishmael. He loved Ishmael. That was come out of his loins. And he's like, oh, no. And the Lord spoke to him and said, she's right. She is right. Something's got to go. Because if Isaac's going to have dominion, he's got to go. Because as long as there was an Ishmael and an Isaac, and today they're fighting, they defile each other. It wasn't long. Sarah noticed that Ishmael was making fun of Isaac. Let me tell you, they've always made fun of the church. They've always made fun of the church. The world has always made fun of the church. But I'm here to tell you the anointing breaks that yoke. So you laugh if you want to, hallelujah, but I'll get the last laugh, hallelujah. God and me is a majority no matter how many come out against me. Hallelujah. Amen. And so the Bible tells us not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Amen. For what fellowship hath light with darkness? And it doesn't mean that as soon as you find another believer, well, we're equally yoked. Well, he believes in Christ just like me. We're equally yoked. That is the very starting point. It doesn't mean because they're a believer and you're a believer, hey, we're praising God. No, what it says is don't even fool with anybody that's not a believer. If you're planning on being yoked to them, don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. There's no fellowship there. There's no communion there. It won't work. And so we need to be equally yoked. Harmony, ability to communicate with each other, and being unequally yoked creates a defilement. And in our text here, it's talking about things that defile each other. You know, it said that a man should not wear that pertaineth to a garment that pertaineth to a man, and a man should not wear that which pertaineth to a woman. Because in doing so, it is an abomination to the Lord, to each other. It defiles each other. And so while there are distinct differences between man and woman, when you put them together, they become one. And so he goes on to say, not only in wearing, but he says in sowing. He said, when you sow your seed, don't sow diverse seeds into your field. Amen. Because he said, if you do, you defile the fruit thereof. You can't take watermelon seeds and cucumber seeds and I'll put a pecan in there and get all a handful of seeds and go throw it in the field. You defile each one by doing that. You put the watermelon seeds with the watermelon seeds. You put the pecan trees where the pecan trees go. In so doing, they keep their natural character. But if you try to put them together, nothing goes to harvest. Nothing good comes out. And so he says, when you sow your seeds, don't sow all these diverse seeds all at the same time. And when you wear these garments, he said, don't wear woolen and linen together. They're too different. Now, I know that they got to where they can mix fabrics today, and I'm not talking about that. But wool and linen, he said, if you put that together, go wash it and see what happens. One side of you is going to itch, and the other side's not. They don't go together. And so he tells us that even in plowing, he talked about wearing, he talked about sowing, and he talks about plowing. Even in the plowing, he said, don't put the ox and the ass or the old mule together because there is a clashing of natures. Hear me this morning. There's a clashing of nature. Each one of them alone is a hard worker. Each one of them alone, you can plow a long time together with them. But you yoke things together so it makes it easier for each one. You don't yoke together to make it harder on each one. And so he said, don't plow with them together. I want to show you a picture of a cute couple. They're going to put that on the screen for you. They're such a cute couple. Which one are you? You better ask your wife or your husband, which one's you? Such a cute. And what happens is when you look at this, you know, they both are plow buddies, you know, You know, people get married all the time because they say, oh, we just have so much in common. We both have ears. We both have a tail. We both have hooves. You know, we both have fur. We both have a snout. We both eat grass. We just have so much. What about the nature, honey? All these things in common won't let you plow together. Get to your nature. Get to the nature of the thing. And so you try to plow these together. What happens is they're not far from the difference, two different sizes. I don't know. They look kind of alike, but not really. But you will know the difference when they plow. You'll know the difference when they come together under a yoke. You'll know the difference when you get married. You'll know the difference when you have those children. You'll know the difference because you don't know anybody till you're yoked to them. I'll clap for myself. Hallelujah. You can date all you want to date, honey, and say how much we got in common. But until you say, I do, we got a couple going to get married, you better look at this good. Until you say, I can work with this. I can go with it. Let's plow together. Hallelujah. You need to be equally yoked in every place of your nature. You might not like to fish. Fine, I will. I don't like to sow. She will. That's okay. But our nature is in harmony with each other. Let me show you what equally yoked is supposed to be like. Hey, now we're talking here. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter which one you are now. It doesn't really matter. Because I'm pulling at the same speed you pull. I'm walking at the same speed you walk. I'm about the same height. I look at you, I think I'm looking at me. Got a lot in common? Yeah, maybe so. But our natures are what's in common. I'm preaching this morning, whether you know it or not, I'm preaching that you need to plow as a team. And it's, I've preached before, it's a team thing. It's not a number thing, it's a team thing. And you will never be part of the team, 20 mule team borax, unless you got the yoke on. They put the yoke on so you can pull. One oxen can plow maybe a half a day and another one in a half a day. You put two of them together, they can plow all day, no problem. And that's the way you're supposed to be. But you never, never, never know anything about anybody until you're yoked to them. I just thought you was a good boss till I got the job under you. I thought you was a nice guy to work for. Now that I'm yoked to you, I found out you're not quite as lovely as I thought you was. I'm here to tell you, you don't know people until you're yoked to people. My. And if you're not careful, that yoke becomes a choke. And you pull against each other and it chokes you.